A lot of fun. I want to show you one more picture. This is from yesterday. Yesterday was just an amazing day in my life I'll never forget. You got the picture of Chris, Edward, and Josiah. It was their birthday yesterday, and I love that picture. We've got definitely a white man, a real white man, a Puerto Rican with some white boy in him, and a Filipino. And so I love the diversity of our church, all born on August 5th. And so we celebrated their birthdays yesterday. And watching that video, you know, it's just such a reminder that the church is people. It's a people that's been joined together by God. It's not a building. It's not a location on a street. It's a people who God has brought together. And I love Go To Church because you're my people. And I love the diversity that we have in ethnicity and generations. And it's just every time we gather together, it's an expression of God's kingdom. And I know it brings him great pleasure. And so that's why I get so emotional. I'm also, yesterday being a big day, as I mentioned last week, it was my 30-year high school reunion yesterday. And so got up, went to the church picnic, celebrated my oldest son's birthday, 17th birthday. That's always a special time. And then I went to my high school reunion. I showed up about 10 o'clock and just had a blast. And I stayed out way past curfew. And at 12:20, I found myself. We were closing down the reunion, but it wasn't closing down. People were going from, because all the college students started to come. It was at Township Woodward. They show up at midnight, you know, so everybody was leaving, going to another place to hang out. And so I found myself driving all my high school friends like I used to do in high school, 30. They all piled, and it wasn't an Oldsmobile Omega, you know, 1978 Oldsmobile Omega. It was a Honda Odyssey minivan with 12 speakers. And so I'm driving, going 30 years later, going, can you believe I drive a minivan? And we're all just laughing. And I go, but it's got 12 speakers. And I had iHeart 80s radio playing. And so we were jamming 80s tune. And I drove them to the next place and dropped them off. So I was Pastor Uber yesterday. And so, you know, I was so concerned because I'm like, man, okay, I'm headed home and they're here at this place. So are they going to be able to get home safely? And I was really confused because I'm like, I gave them a ride. So how are they going to get home? And so as I was leaving, I walked back in. And I said, you okay? Do you need a ride? How are y'all going to get home? They said, no, we'll do Uber. And I went, oh, yeah. I go, that wasn't around 30 years ago. Uber, I said, I've never used that. Like, I forget that's in existence now, you know? So anyhow, it was a fun and wonderful time. So if I'm a little bit, hold on, not yet. Gosh, it was a fun and wonderful time. If I'm not as coherent as I need to be, please forgive me this morning. I was going to do that to make you laugh. That's my 30 years ago. That was the dream boat that I was back 30 years ago. And so there's a lot of hairspray, perfect part down the middle with the mullet. Today they call it the flow. That's what it's called, the flow. And my boys have been wanting to grow out a flow for probably the last 2 years, and I won't let them do it. And they're always like, why? And I go, because I'm trying to save you from that 30 years from now. That's what will happen 30 years from now. You think you're cool right now, and then all of a sudden that pops up, and you go, wow. But I love the 80s. Best music and best hairstyles, for sure, in the 80s. All right, let's pray. Lord, help us. Lord, as we study your word this morning, we thank you for fun and fellowship and, Lord, just the opportunity to come together in your presence. And now, Lord, we focus our attention on your word and your truth. And, Lord, we want to be people who live it in such a way that we make great impact in the world. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you know, God's put on my heart over this last month, just really kind of studying the topic of fear in Scripture. And I've been talking about different things in that regards. Last week, kind of talked about how when we fear God, we have nothing else to fear in life. Fearing the Lord, walking with him in the right way removes all our other fears. And so I want to dig in this morning real practically into the fears that rob us of our courage, because the scripture commands us, the Lord commands us as his people to be a strong and courageous people. And so if we live in fear, we're not going to be the kind of strong and courageous people that God wants us to be. And so I want to examine from a scriptural standpoint, not just from a standpoint of the world where they survey people and, you know, they give you these top 10 fears in life that you have. And it's interesting, most of the fears that when you read those lists, if you were to Google a list of things people fear the most, they are fears that Jesus addresses in scripture over 2,000 years ago. And so he knew these were things that would be challenges to our lives and hindering our walk with him. And so I want to address those, because the goal is for us to be like him, to grow in him. As we've been talking, there is no fear in love, but perfect love removes all fear from our lives. And so if we are to grow and be like Christ, one of the biggest hindrances, according to 1 John, in a great book that's written for us to have an understanding of really what it means for us to love God and manifest that love of Christ in our hearts to the world, demonstrate that to the world, fear can be the biggest hindrance to that. So it's important that we dive into it this morning. We'll look at Psalm 112, 1 through 8, as kind of a scripture to set the table for us. It says, "Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord." There it is again. "Who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be what? They will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed." So you see God's purpose for us to be strong, to be courageous, to be mighty, not weak, not a subjugated people, not people who lack influence, but we are to be the light and salt of the world. We are to be strong. We are to be mighty. We are to be great influencers of people for Christ. We have a great promise that the generation of the upright will be blessed. Look at this. "Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever." Those are great promises. "Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright." How about that for a promise? Our darkest days, we still have hope. We're a people of hope because God's light is constantly shining in us and through us. "For those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous, God will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever." And then here we go. They will have what? No fear of bad news. Yeah. All right, now, trying to be nice this morning. But I don't meet a lot of folks who don't live in a lot of fear today. And unfortunately, we've allowed the news stations and the things of the world to dictate to us how we should think, how we should live, how we should respond, instead of God's holy word, his eternal word, which says that for us who believe in Jesus, who are born again, who have a covenant, and who stand on his promises with our great Lord, we are to have no fear of bad news. No fear of bad news. Man, if we could really live like that, that would change the way we influence planet Earth. Their hearts are steadfast. Why? Because they're always trusting in the Lord. Verse 8, their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. And in the end, they will look in triumph over their foes. Lord, help us as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. They will have no fear of bad news. That is powerful. They will trust in the Lord. Their hearts will be steadfast. They'll have no fear. They'll be secure. Look at all of the ways Scripture describes how the people of God are to live. Now, when I look, kind of scan the landscape of a lot of people who I believe are Christians today, again, and what kind of got me on this topic is that I don't see that kind of victory coming from their lives. I see a lot of discouragement. I see a lot of despair. I see a lot of losing of heart. I see just really a lot of fear in today's world. And I believe that God is wanting to turn the tables on how the church's attitude has been in the recent years. I believe that he wants us to be strong and courageous. I believe that he wants us to be a secure people in our relationship with him, because only when you're secure can you be humble, and can you be loving, and can you be gracious and kind. When you don't possess those character qualities or traits, you're only going to think ultimately about your self-preservation. That's why this is so important this morning. And so when we read the scriptures and look at this topic, God always wants us to be so much bigger than just ourselves. You know, I was reminded of that last night. When we step in, we're to be the life of the party. There's to be a great excitement when we show up. Because we bring something according to the scripture. We bring the blessing. Amen. That's powerful. Yes. We bring the good news. Amen. Where there's despair, we bring the hope. Yes. Where there's discord and strife, we bring peace. Yes. Where there's hate, bitterness, friction, we bring love. Yes. We are to be the life of the party. Amen. You know, 30 years goes by and you show up and you're like, man, you know, you're just thinking, what's it like? I'm going to reengage these people after 30 years. I just said, man, I'm going to go in and just, I am going to be the life of the party. Amen. I'm going to go in and I'm going to hug people and make them feel, because it was sincere in my heart, like, you're the most special person. And it was so, it was an interesting night for me, because you know how the lack of sincerity in today's world, does it ever just bother you? You know, our gadgets and our busyness, and you know, to really just sit down and have a conversation, look someone in the eye and talk, and just know that, man, there's nothing else going on in planet Earth in this moment except us. You know, that's what I've learned, thank God, after 21 years. That's what your wife wants, you know. She just wants your attention. Hello, are you listening? I know you're looking at me, but is it hello, you know, is it computing? You know, and then you got to shake your head and go, okay, yeah, yes, I'm listening, okay. And, you know, it took me about probably 2 hours to get to everybody, because I didn't want to be this guy. You with me? I wanted to be right there in the moment with that person. It was, I mean, it was hard, you know what I'm saying? Because every, you know, it's like, you know, everybody's wanting to talk, and you know, you see someone, and so I was intentional. It was almost like being at church after Sunday, you know, when you're greeting people, and everybody's so gracious about this, you know, they don't want to interrupt the pastors, you know, like you're talking with someone and someone will kind of stand by you and wait for you to get done. I felt like I was at church, you know, I'm like, but I wouldn't take my eyes off the person, because I was like, look, I want you to know that you're the most important right now. No matter who you were in high school, no matter what our relationship was, no matter where you were popular or unpopular, right now, this is important. And you're important. And that's how God is with us. And we are to be that type of people. Do you know, if we're insecure and fearful, we can't be that? Amen. See, I could be that. I'm not always that today. You know, at midlife, I struggle with my insecurities. I struggle with thoughts of the future. I struggle with my fears. Why do you think I'm preaching on this? This is for me. I'm glad you all showed up. I mean, if y'all hadn't figured that out over the years, I preach to myself. I'm really glad you all are here, but this is for me. I need this during the week because I'm a wimp. And so it's so important that we be strong and we be courageous and we be the kind of people God wants us to be. Now, in high school, I don't have any problem telling you, I was the man. Believe it or not, with that haircut, believe it or not, I was the man. So when I can come in that environment, I could fall right back into that routine. I didn't have a name tag. And not one person came up to me and said, you know, who are you? So what's my point? In that environment, guess what? I'm really secure. People want to talk to me in that environment. You know, nowadays, people, some avoid me. And God wants us to have impact. That's why we exist. That's why we're left on planet Earth. That's why when we baptize you, we don't drown you. We actually pull you back up out of the water because now you're to live in the resurrected life here on Earth for Him. And we have a destiny and we have a purpose. And God created us each unique to represent Him in a way that only you as an individual can represent Him in that way to your unique specific culture and people of influence and your own unique gifts and personalities. There's only one you to represent Him to the world. And my goal is constantly to try to stay in that thought that God, you made me in your image and likeness to represent you. And I'm not going to let everything in the world discourage me from being that. And not only that, as communion reminds us this morning, you went to the cross to save me and redeem me and make sure that in my sin and rebellion, that you made sure that I would still fulfill glorifying you. Because that's what we're here to do. That's why we exist. That's where life is found. That's where purpose is found. That's where the joy is found. For the joy set before Him, Jesus endured the cross. How? Because He was in the center of God's will. The great thing about a 30-year-old perspective is that, man, you've lived time on earth. You've tried things. When I would see folks, I'd hug them, and the first words, I was so great to see you. You look awesome. I'm sorry I was such a bad influence on you. We've tried things, and we know that, man, the only thing that touches our heart, the only thing that brings lasting pleasure, the only thing that brings that joy that's indescribable is pleasing Him. Yeah. Pleasing Him. Yeah. Everything else wears out or gets old or you know, just doesn't satisfy, but He does. The woman at the well, come on, she had been in relationship after relationship. She had drank all her life from the things of the world that were supposed to bring satisfaction to her. This one will be it. This one will be it. This person will be it. This experience will do it. In an encounter with Jesus, He says, no, I'm it. Drink from me. I'm the living water. I satisfy. Yes. And she did. Yes. And her life was changed. She became a witness for Him. She became a different person. She became secure. Are you with me? Yes. No longer did she need other people to bring her identity and her satisfaction and her self-worth. She now found it in Jesus, and she was different. She wasn't to be used anymore and use others in her insecurities. She now was a life giver. Yes. 30 years ago, I was a life taker, and all my big man on campus status, it was all about me and in my insecurities and fears and how I could use that to use you. That hurts me. And 30 years later, I want to be a life giver, not a life taker. How do we do that? What keeps us from being that to the world? Let's look here at Proverbs 29, verse 25. Number one, it says, the fear of man will prove to be a snare. The fear of man will prove to be a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. You know, one of the biggest lies that I believe Christians have bought into, and there's many over the years, is that our witness is to be a personal thing. It's to be personal. In other words, it's to not really kind of be shared with others in a way that might make them uncomfortable. That is a lie from the pit of hell. And we understand, I mean, you know, when you share Jesus, you're either, you know, receiving him or rejecting him. There's really kind of no in between with him. You know, it's like you, because it costs you your life and he is the truth and it's why there's warfare over that name. It's why you can pray in any other religious name except Jesus' name, because that name brings conviction because it's truth. You can sin in any other name and do your religious works and feel better about yourself. You can't do that with Jesus because you have to look him in the face and repent and know that now I'm accountable to a real and living person. I'm not accountable to my own good deeds and my own religious ritual of self-righteousness. I'm accounted to a living God. And so you either receive that and fall on your knees and humble yourself and follow him and serve him and love him, or you reject it. There's no in between. There's no in between. And so that brings conflict. And we understand that. And unfortunately, in the world, if you are a witness, more reject than more receive. That's not fun. Jesus prepared us, right? He said, narrow is the road that what? Leads to life. And how many? Few find it. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. And how many? Many find it. And it's amazing that, you know how God's so different than us? Here's how God is so different than us. This is the biggest difference. He's gracious and he's merciful. And he's forgiving and forgiving, you know, it's forgiving. I mean, the eternal judgment on the world, the hardest thing I believe for lost people when they stand before Jesus and look the Lord who is love in the eyes and still and realize that what was done for them was forgiveness and they didn't receive it. That it wasn't judgment, and the judgment that came upon them was the judgment they brought upon themselves and their own fears or insecurities, but the price was already paid for them to be welcomed. Are you with? I mean, God, that's a torturous thought. You know, that's torment for eternity. But he's so unlike you and I because he's gracious and he's merciful. And he knows that the road is narrow and few find it. And guess what? It matters to him. And he didn't allow the things of the world, the temptations of the enemy to distract him. And he came and did it. I'll offer you this. I'll offer you that. I'll offer you that. If you'll follow me, you'll do my will. You'll do whatever else. Nope, Jesus didn't do it. He didn't allow the persecution of religious leaders to deter him. He didn't allow those who rejected him to get him sorrowful to the point of despair and quit. He didn't allow those closest to him and the disappointments of them betraying him to keep him on track. He didn't allow anything to distract him from saying, "It is finished. I've brought you glory on this earth, my God, my Father, by completing the work you gave me to do." And that work was to save people. to do his part in saying, man, could we broaden that narrow gate just a little bit so that more can get in? It's his desire. He shows up and goes, man, in your rebellion, in your sin, you weren't prepared for the banquet. But still go get them. Go to the streets and tell them it is time. Get them in. He still gives us opportunity. And he gives us opportunity through us. And the battle of life is to keep life in perspective of what's important. This is what's important. This is why we exist, not just to work and make money and try to survive in this lifetime. It's to live for him. It's to glorify him. It's to turn things upside down for Jesus. Anything else is depressing. Why are we so medicated? Why are we so distracted? Why are we so tired? Because we're depressed in the fact that we're not living life the way it's meant to live for him and his glory. Amen. I mean, Paul would say, even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the service of your behalf, I rejoice and praise. What's he saying? He says, man, I'm tired. You're making me tired. But it's worth it for the eternal glory of knowing that when we sit there, see, why don't we show you all the videos? Why don't we show you all those things? Those aren't for the people who came. They're for the people who weren't there. We missed you. You make a difference. You're important. It's not the same. I don't want to get in eternity and go, man, you know, this is a fearful thought now. I don't want to get in eternity and sit there and go, man, that person that was on the bike next to me every day for 3 years ain't there because he was there, placed in my life, and I said nothing because I was on my agenda for the day and missed God's agenda. Amen. You know that person when you go to the grocery store and for the 20th time this week just happens to be in line with you right next to you? Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. How you doing? How's your life? Where do you go to church? Whatever the question may be. That's not a coincidence. Don't give me this everything happens for a reason stuff, philosophy. What reason? God's reason. God's purpose. You think Jesus showed up at the well and went, hey, Samaritan woman, everything happens for a reason. No, he showed up. I'm life. You need it. The fear of man. And the biggest lie we buy into is that we're to be a quiet people. Or, you know, it's the problem today. It's the problem today. We are to have, when you read the book of Ephesians, and it goes through, it's the best book on what the church is to be. Who Jesus is, what he does for us, the gifts, the apostles, the pastor, all that chapter, the equipping of the saints, the church, the strength of it. And then you get to Ephesians 6, and we have become something in him. What is it? No, we don't show up now, according to Ephesians 6, in lucky jeans that fit so good. I want to sing about my jeans that fit so good, right? That's all country folk can sing about is their good-fitting jeans. And my comfortable shoes that look like dress shoes, but really the rubber soles. What brand is it again? It's the Echo, rubber shoe Echoes. God, I need these at 48. So comfortable, right? It doesn't say put on your Echoes and your lucky brands and, you know, no, what is it saying? Take up the shield of faith. Amen. Huh? Grab the sword of the Spirit. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. What's the point? We're an army in battle. And that's all I want. I want to walk with people. I want to meet people who believe in Jesus that are warriors. That wake up. And when that alarm goes off, know that ding, 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 the battle has been joined. Devil, I'm here today. I'm creaky, tired, My throat hurts. I'm limping. But I'm going to say no to sin and yes to Jesus today. And I'm still coming. I'm still coming for him. Of all the metaphors and illustrations, we are light. Read on light. I'm not going to try to wax philosophical and act like I'm some scientist that I'm not. But do studies on like stars and light and how big our galaxy is. Do you know how like far away stars are? It's like farther than I can communicate and my brain can comprehend. And when I look at the star, I think like, okay, you know, that light took like 30 seconds to get to me. The light has been traveling like lifetimes for us to see it. That's how bright light is. We're to be that. We're light. Like people on the other side of Earth, just to give you an example to try to relate it, which it's even greater than this, are supposed to see how you witness for Jesus. That far away. That far away. What did Paul say? He said, you shine like stars in the universe. In regards to trembling in fear of our salvation, as you go forth and shine like stars in the universe, we're light. We're light to the world. We are. If we're not who we're supposed to be, there is no hope. Jesus said, I return quickly. That's funny. 2,000 years later, huh? I can't get my kids to like wait a minute for the car to cool down, let alone 2,000 years for a Lord to return. And I just wonder, he's waiting. And I wonder, like, it's one of the conversations, it's one of the questions that I want to ask him. Like, Lord, how much did our disobedience prolong your return? Like, quickly. Like, it took longer than you thought, didn't it, Jesus? So, sorry. Sorry, we were so knuckleheaded. Sorry, we were so distracted by the things of the world. We weren't about the master's business. And in your grace, compassion, and mercy, you were patient and waited for someone to do what we weren't doing. Sorry, Lord. Thank you for your blood that got me in here. How about the scriptures, like some will be in, like as one barely escaping through the flames, you know, like, I don't know. And to think that a fear of someone else and what they think about us would keep us from testifying of him. It's one of the biggest lies on planet Earth. People are to know who we love and who we serve and why we do it. Good works aren't just enough for Christians. We are to communicate and tell of the reason behind those good works. Good works are good enough for every other religion and religious figure, not for Jesus. We are to live in those good works, but we are to communicate, to talk, to preach, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't think just because you're a nice person who doesn't cuss too much that people will know. No, they know when we tell them. They know. I'm so thankful. I didn't like it at the time. I hated it. In fact, I fought it. I had all my dumb arguments that I thought were so smart. But I'm thankful somebody busted up into my life and said, you need Jesus. You need him. Read about him and look at your life and see if there's any contradiction. And boy, there was. And I'm so thankful somebody made me uncomfortable. Somebody made me think for the first time I wasn't a good guy. Somebody addressed my sin. I'm thankful because I'm here today in him because of it. I'm thankful some men weren't scared to tell me the truth. Look at this. I'll read this. give you another thought and be done. Matthew 10, 26 through 33. Don't be afraid of them. For there's nothing concealed that will be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, do what? Proclaim. Say proclaim. Proclaim from the roofs. Don't be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them falls to the ground outside of your Father's care. Again, going back to the reassurance that we're in the Father's hand and his care. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered, not as many as they used to be. Amen. So don't be afraid. So don't be afraid. Do you see it over and over and over again? Don't be afraid. You're worth more than any of the sparrows. See, where is the true glory in today's world? The glory of really dying for something that matters or living for something that matters. What kind of legacy are we leaving when it's all said and done? The glory and honor of thinking that, man, God, can you imagine in glory and eternity forever, the martyrs, the glory and honor they have? Gosh. And we're so comfortable in our Christianity. Come on, I mean, we got to look at them one day, and they look at us and go, what are we doing? 32, whoever acknowledges me, what? Before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I'll disown you before my Father in heaven. That's in red letters in your red letter Bible. That means Jesus is speaking that. Maybe he had the sheep on his shoulder. Maybe he didn't when he was saying that. But that's his words. There's an expectation that you speak of me to people. Why does that matter? Because narrow is the road that leads to life, and few find it. And I don't want few in my house, because in my Father's house, there's what, he said? There's many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you. The expectation that we are to live and to tell of this Lord. And as we do it, how things change and transform. I'll end with this. You know, you guys have heard me talk over the last couple months about growing up, how I had a really big regret in life. And it wasn't that it was that I was not a better witness for Jesus in high school with all the influence that I had. And how God allowed that to be redeemed somewhat this year through coaching back at Lincoln and you know, being able to witness to all those kids and pray for them every day and talk to them about the Lord in their lives. Well, and I, you know, I told you it was no coincidence that it was, to me, a 30-year moment that happened and coming to my 30-year reunion and all that. Well, most powerful... Most powerful moment for me last night was, I'd been there about 15 minutes, and like I said, I was kind of working my way, saying hey to people, and one of my friends, Lisa Hewitt, who she dated some friends of mine through the years. We never dated or anything like that. We were just always good friends. Grew up together since I first moved to Tallahassee all the way through high school, like many of us did. You know, back then you didn't move around a lot. So, you know, I mean, most people that were there, we were together the first 20 years of our lives, you know. So hadn't seen her in 30 years and followed her on Facebook, and she had been through death of parents and a divorce and a lot of stuff, and to the point of, you know, not wanting to be on planet Earth anymore. She waited patiently, and then when I got done talking, she grabbed me and pulled me aside. She goes, "It'll just take 30 seconds. I said, "You got all the time you need. We're in no rush." She grabbed me, and she looked me in the eye, and she goes, "You changed my life." I know it's not me. She goes, "You don't know how many times I woke up that day and was having all those thoughts, and I read a post. I read something you said, and it got me through the day. It got me seeking." She's been through some hard times, but she's born again. She's got Jesus in her life. And after being Pastor Uber and dropping all those people off to their next destination, I was talking to her best friend in high school, and they still hang out. Seeing them is just a flashback. And her best friend, who, you know, wasn't living for Jesus in high school, now attends Andy Stanley's church, been filled with the Holy Spirit. Just, you know, I'm like there to have fun and, you know, reminisce, and everybody's talking to me about Jesus. That's right. And she's telling her story, you know, how she was almost dead, got sick, was about to die, didn't think she was going to make it, and met her husband, met God through all that. She's telling me this story. And she ends, we end the night as I give him a hug, and she ends and points at Lisa. And Lisa's just laughing, having a great time. She points at her and goes, "And her faith is stronger than mine." Why do I say all of that? I say that because our lives matter. Yes. Why am I so emotional? I'm emotional because I don't live with that regret anymore. God's healed that in my heart. Amen. Why am I emotional? I'm emotional because as I hit midlife, I have struggled and wondered, does my life matter? I've had those thoughts in recent years. Yes. Am I insignificant? Does my life matter now? What does the future look like? I have those fears and thoughts and insecurities. And in a moment, God reminds you, Jesus in us matters. Matters. It matters for the only thing that matters, eternity. So I say that to encourage you that don't let your insecurities, your fears, the fear of man keep you from being the light and the salt that God called you to be. Because let me tell you this, somebody's watching. When I was going to get the van to pick him up, to take him to the next place, I'm walking out and I'm walking to my van and some younger guy goes, "Hey, Pastor Ron." Coming out of the club. And I quickly went, 30-year reunion. 30-year reunion. I'm here for my 30-year reunion. And him and his buddy are there, you know, for graduation, you know, celebrating, kind of stumbling a little bit. And he's like trying to, you know, "Hey, Pastor Rod, how you doing?" I'm like, 30-year reunion. I'm like, "How are you doing?" You know, and I'm like, "Didn't expect to see Pastor at this time, did you?" God's got a way, doesn't he? Is that coincidence? 30 years ago, God knew that I'd be walking down that street and that kid who could maybe be backsliding would have a moment of running into a pastor and, "Hey, Pastor Ron." I asked him, "You at church? You do it all, you know?" That's my conversation. Go to the car. We can't escape being who God's destined us to be. I was just wanting to be the fun high school guy, hang out. I showed up as Pastor Ron. So let's be that. Let's be encouraged. Let's not let our fears keep us from being who God wants us to be. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word and your truth. Help us to live without any fear, Lord. No fear of bad news, no fear of men. And I just want to pray for you this morning. If first of all, if you know you're not in right relationship with God and you want to get in right relationship with God, I'd love to pray with you to do that. Would you raise your hand with me this morning? If that's you, just saying, you know, I need to get in right relationship with God. I'm not living in a way that would please him. Would you raise your hand? I just want to pray for you. God's brought you here. God's touched you. God's done something in your life to do that. And what I'm asking too is for us, we need to, when we make these kind of prayers, we need to have over time more people respond because they're here under our influence. So I want to encourage you in that. I want to pray for you if you want the spirit of the fear of man broken off your life. I want you to stand up in boldness. If you go, I have a fear of man in my life at time and I don't want to have that. I want that broken off my life. God wants me to be a more powerful witness for him. That's what he saved me. That's what he's created me to be. And as you stand, that's what we're going to believe, is that God's just going to do what only he can do in this moment. Now, you've got to walk it out. You've got to live it. You've got to step out in boldness. You've got to be more aware of who God's placing in your life. You've got to have intimacy with him, a spiritual devotional life, all those things. But this is a moment for you and the Lord. Lord, we just pray for those standing this morning that the spirit of the fear of man would be broken off of their lives in Jesus' name. We thank you. You haven't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And I just pray, Father, that as this spirit of fear of man is broken off of their lives, that a bold witness for you, Jesus, and life and purpose and blessing would flow. The blessing, God, that you've placed, the covenant blessing that you've placed deep inside of them would begin to overflow through them into people's lives. That, Lord, it wouldn't be a hang-on mentality. I'm just trying to survive for myself. I'm just trying to make it. But, Lord, there would be something bigger, the kingdom of God, flowing through them and flowing to others, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for new faith. We thank you for new joy. We thank you for new purpose. And we love you. Why don't you just lift your hands to the Lord, if you would. Just lift it, receive it, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Thank you, God. If you raised your hand and would like prayer, we have people here that want to pray for you and stand with you. It's important that you get that agreement. Praying together, praying with people is how God just seals things and does extra things in your life, so it's powerful. So come forward if you need prayer. Yeah. And have a great rest of your Sunday. Yeah. Absolutely.
Of just the sign of the times, Lord God. I pray against the fear of the things that we see in the natural and then begin doubting what you're doing in the supernatural, Lord God. And so, Father, I just ask that you would bind that fear based upon what we see and not what we believe by faith, Lord God. Father, and so, Lord, I ask that you would fill us with the eyes of faith, that as a people, as a generation, as a church, that we would see as you see, that we would hear as you hear, Lord God, not what the news wants to tell us, not what the neighbor wants to tell us, not what the boss wants to tell us, not what we hear when we check our kids' Instagram and we see and worry and get full of fear, Lord God, and afraid, Lord God, but what you tell us by faith in your word, Lord God, that we would stand steadfast in the storm, that we would be the anchor, that we would dwell in the eye of the storm, Lord God, that we're not going to be tossed about back and forth, that we're not going to be the man that walks away from the mirror and forgets who they are and what they believe and what they have faith in, Lord God, but that we would be steadfast, that you're going to place our feet on solid ground in this age, that you're going to place our children's feet on solid ground, that it's going to work out at our job, that it's going to be okay in school, that our family is going to be okay, that family member we're believing for, that child, that parent, Lord God, they are going to come to the faith in a supernatural way in Jesus Christ, Lord God. And so, Father, I ask that you would blow fresh wind of faith into our sails, Lord God. Father, that we would rise up above the fear, that we would rise up above the anxiety and the doubt, Lord God, to stand strong and not be shaken in Jesus' name. Amen.
The great unknown. My fear.